Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner and operator of Everyman Sports. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking to my first guest, my father, who, much like many people, learned their sports from. I learned mine from my father. Just like many people with their fathers, I talk to mine very frequently about sports. It's a topic of conversation that that we both share, and an interest we both have in it. So he's my first guest. So I'd like to welcome you.
Yo, Chad, what's up, man?
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Doing good, what's
news? Not too much.
Yeah. So you ready for this baseball season?
Yeah.
Is out for the year.
Yeah, he's out for the year.
And you can't get nothing for him. It's not like if he was healthy, you get something for him, a team that's contending or whatever, right?
Well, that was kind of the whole point, was they would hope that he'd be good enough and then they can get rid of him. But, you know, now it's not the case.
But it makes you suspect now about, that he wanted to, didn't he want to pitch in the international games?
Oh, Santana?
Yeah.
He probably would have. He's big on his country.
So he wasn't ready. I mean, and then he got mad because the Mets wouldn't let him.
I know.
And then he's a mess, so he would have been a mess anyhow. What kind of is that?
He, you know, for a lot of these players, they think that, you know, going and representing their country, just like the Olympics, is, you know, the thing to do. That's why you see all the other countries have all these players who will play for them, and, you know, America only has, you know, the scraps. I mean, aside from, like, somebody like David Wright or Ryan Braun, you know, especially the pitchers. Like, Dickey was the best pitcher they had, you know. None of the Justin Verlander didn't pitch, and, you know, none of the other big-time pitchers didn't pitch. It's only the, you know, the foreign ones. And, you know, I kind of get, especially the island nations, they don't really have much, they have a lot of pride, but they don't really have much, I don't know, a way to really show it on the international stage, so.
Right.
But that's good. And, yeah, so, you know, the roster's pretty much set. They've got a reliever. He's been in the minors something like 9 years, and this is his first time. He's been to the majors before, but his name's Rice, if I remember correctly. Something like Sidney Rice, I think it is.
Sounds bad.
But apparently he... Yeah, Scott Rice. His name's Scott Rice.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. Yeah. 14 years in the minor leagues. 14 years.
Right. Yeah. Now, do you think that... what's his name? Houston. You think they'll lose 100 or not? Houston Astros.
It's very likely, but they won't do it because, I don't know. I like their manager. I think it's Bo Porter. He used to play.
Jeff said he thinks they can win 70.
I wouldn't be
out of 100.
I wouldn't be surprised because the way the managers got them during the spring,
right.
he had them no names on the back of their uniforms because you got to earn it. And it's a young team. It's his first time managing, at least in the majors, and he's pretty hard. So I think he'll milk like 70 wins out of them.
So it was reported today that the 25-man roster for Houston makes less than A-Rod.
Yeah, makes less than A-Rod. But, you know, I'm only surprised it's just the Astros. I would have thought it was the Marlins too, the way they decimate their roster every year. But no, it's not a surprise. There's always going to be one team that has a lower payroll than the highest paid player. You know,
that's true.
You know, Houston's going through this rebuilding thing, and, you know, A-Rod's, I don't know, his. The lower half of his body is going to fall off pretty soon. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear Romo got signed six more years?
Yeah, and Verlander got 7 years.
Yeah, he got 7 years and some ridiculous amount. Let me look it up real quick.
170, 180?
No, I think it might have been 220, actually.
No way.
Let's see. Hold on.
Really?
Something like that. Wait, let me pull it up. Yeah, but he's now... Oh, I'm sorry, 180.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's crazy.
7 years, 180. And there's some option in there that could kick it over 2 million.
Right.
He's worth it. I mean, he's pitched 2 no-hitters. He's Rookie of the Year, Cy Young. He won an MVP. If there's nobody else worthy, if there's somebody else who's worthy, I mean,
but these guaranteed contracts drive me crazy, man.
Yeah, it's.
I mean,
it's
if
hard
they go out and work for his comp and get like 700 a week or something, how fast they'd be packing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, bud.
All right, man. So I'd like to thank my dad for coming on to the show. Hopefully, he can be a more frequent guest. I'll have some more guests coming in, some actually here. Him, I was able to get onto the phone. I have some other friends I'd like to get onto the phone too and talk some sports, especially now that baseball season's coming up. You heard us talking a little bit about our team, the New York Mets. It's going to be a rough season for them yet again. Just need to work on developing those players. You know, it feels like it's been a while since we've actually developed some players. You know, you can go back to Wright and Reyes. But even then, I mean, that was a team full of veterans. You look at 2006, their last real success. Because that was a team with Carlos Delgado and Carlos Beltran and Paul LaDuca and, you know, a pitching staff with, you know, Pedro Martinez and Orlando Hernandez. And I mean, that was an older group. Cliff Floyd, John Valentin, or Jose Valentin. I mean, that was a much older team than people think. You know, the focus was mainly on Wright and Reyes, but I mean, that was an old team. You know, going back the 80s, that was the last time we really developed a lot of players that was able to succeed on the field and as a franchise. You know, Gooden, Strawberry, Dykstra, Backman, you know, Mookie was homegrown, Tim Tuffle. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of developed players. Oh, Jesse Orosco, Roger McDowell, Sid Fernandez, Ron Darling. But, you know, the only ones who really had established themselves elsewhere was Bob Ojeda, Gary Carter, and Keith Hernandez. Aside from that, pretty much everybody else was homegrown. And Ray Knight. But that was to a lesser degree. And then through the 90s, especially in their late 90s, you know, I mean, Edgardo Alfonso, who had great success. Edgardo Alfonso was probably the only one, because Piazza came over in that trade, and they had John Olerud, who they picked up on the scrap heap, and their pitching staff was Al Leiter, Mike Hampton, Oral Hershiser. I mean, they went through a lot of pitchers in those late 90s, early aughts. I think Bobby Jones was the only one homegrown. Rick Reed had, you know, been around for a while. So the Mets need to focus on those guys who are coming up. Denard, that catcher, he's good. He's going to be really good for them. Ike Davis right now is doing well. So they just have to keep their hopes high and focus on that. So we'll talk more baseball. We're going to talk a lot of baseball, or at least you're going to hear us talk baseball. And if you want to talk baseball, if you want to send me an email, you can email me at everymansports@gmail.com.
That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Right now, you know, the only thing that's going on, that we talked about in football, you know, the Romo deal. You know, and aside from that, still waiting for the Jets to figure out something to do with Revis. But aside from that, there's not much else to really talk about until the draft comes. And then, you know, of course, the NCAA is still going. You know, the Sweet 16, very surprising. I mean, well, the whole tournament, just a lot of surprises. I understand that there's going to be upsets, but I don't feel like it's ever been this big. I mean, I'm not doing well at all. I think between Florida, Gulf Coast, Wichita State, LaSalle, and a lot of other teams, they're screwing up a lot of people's brackets. I think the only one that's really good, I mean, if you look at the East bracket, Indiana, Miami, Marquette, and Syracuse, they were the only ones to break through. I mean, that bracket pretty much remained unscathed. You know, you got California beating you on a 12 beating a 5, so, I mean, that followed kind of suit, but in terms of upsets. But aside from that, no. It's all the other brackets that are just destroyed. You know, Florida Gulf Coast, I mean, that's the big one people are talking about. Wichita and LaSalle, even Mississippi, beating up Wisconsin. That's a 12-5 seed. Harvard, really shocking stuff. Midwest, you know, a lot of people thought that Oregon was being disrespected by being put at 12th seed. So, but aside from that, everything else in that bracket worked out well. In the round of 32, aside from Oregon, it went 1 through 8. I'm sorry, 1 through 8. Except Oregon taking Oklahoma's spot. Oklahoma State spot, where it should be a 5. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the Elite Eight's going to look like. You know, definitely Louisville will move on. You know, between Wichita and LaSalle, it's going to have to be Wichita State, Ohio State, Michigan, you know, Syracuse and Marquette will probably go through. You know, I'd love to see Florida Gulf Coast go, but that it's hard not to see the Gators move on, and you know, probably Duke. I've got Duke in a couple of my brackets, so I'd like to see them move on, and they probably will. So, okay, well, thank you very much for downloading, listening, and enjoying to Everyman Sports. We'll come back to you hopefully. Maybe on opening day or just after opening day, talk to one of my other guests and we can talk a little baseball. So, again, my name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of Everyman Sports. You can email me again at everymansports@gmail.com. Everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Take care and enjoy.